Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we'll be celebrating Holy Communion as we celebrate every other Sunday, at least when we gather together. And as we celebrate this meal, you'll hear, as you hear every time, these words that Jesus first spoke when he celebrated the meal with his disciples. Particularly these, he took the cup after supper and blessing it, he said, "Take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Like everything, when we hear it often enough, it can become very easy for these words to come inside one ear and out the other without giving any real thought to the significance of what Jesus is saying when he hands this cup to his disciples and he says, "Take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." This morning, our gospel text is the story of Mary visiting Elizabeth. And there's a lot that's going on in this text, but what we see here is there is a collision of two covenants, the old covenant with the new. See, our gospel lesson tells the story of Mary visiting her relative Elizabeth. And the gospel begins this way. "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." See, "in those days" tells us, if you were to look at the previous verses, what has just happened is Mary has just recently heard from the angel Gabriel that even though she's a virgin, she's going to conceive and bear a son by the power of the Holy Spirit, that she's to name this child Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And that this child will also be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so in haste, Mary goes to Elizabeth's house to visit her. You could probably imagine Jesus is maybe just a few weeks old in Mary's womb at this moment. She enters Zechariah's and Elizabeth's house. Elizabeth, her relative, is now 6 months or about 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. And no sooner had Mary entered this house that she greeted Elizabeth than John the Baptist leaped for joy at the sound of Mary's greeting. And it kind of begs this question, why would that happen? You know, this isn't just an infant startling in the womb. There's much more going on here in these verses than that. See, what is happening is these two covenants are colliding. John the Baptist, the representative of the old covenant, knows now that Mary, the mother of the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, is here, and so is he. See, this text shows us there's much more going on than just a meeting of the moms. It's much more than just two pregnant ladies getting together to talk about their kids, and their hopes and their dreams, their fears. This is the first meeting of Jesus and John the Baptist. The first meeting of the old covenant and the new. Now, just so we're on the same page, because covenant is also another one of those words that we don't hear and use very often. You could say a good definition for covenant. A covenant is a solemn commitment guaranteeing promises between two or more parties. So you think of in terms of covenants that we deal with or we see around us every day. Marriage is a good example of a covenant between two parties. A man and a woman, when they're married, they enter into a covenant with one another and before God. A covenant guaranteeing the promises that they have made to one another. To love each other, to remain faithful to one another, through the good and the bad that comes their way. You know, the famous words, "for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, until death." They're entering this covenant, this agreement guaranteeing these promises to one another. But when I use the term covenant this morning, I'm not talking about the kinds of covenants that we enter into with one another as people. I'm referring specifically to the covenants that God himself enters into with people. See, John the Baptist was the final representative of the old covenant. The old covenant, the one that was initiated many years before between God and Abraham and his descendants. See, God came to Abraham And Abraham was in much the same situation as Zechariah and Elizabeth, Abraham and his wife. They were well past the childbearing years. They'd given up any hope of having children of their own. And yet, like God appeared to Zechariah and Elizabeth to say that they would have a child and he was to be named John, be called John the Baptist. God came to Abraham and he gave him this incredible promise that he would have a son in his old age. And even more than that, that Abraham's descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea. And even more than that, that through Abraham's descendants, everyone, all nations on this earth would be blessed through them. Every prophet from the inception of that old covenant to John the Baptist had that same essential message. God has not forgotten his people. God is sending someone, the Messiah, the Son of David, will come into this world and deal with our sin once and for all. John the Baptist was just the last in that long line of prophets to bring that message. And so what happens when Mary enters Elizabeth's house and John the Baptist leaps for joy in his mother's womb? He leaps for joy, filled with the Holy Spirit, because as a representative of the old covenant, he's meeting the fulfillment of the old covenant, Jesus for the first time, the one who would usher in the new covenant between God and his people. Now, to really grasp kind of the momentousness of that moment, just everything that's going on, you've got to understand what's happened in the previous centuries. Because early on in Israel's history, God sent prophet after prophet after prophet to them. It was just a steady stream of men that God had sent to his people Israel to proclaim this message, to remind them of this covenant and these promises that God had made between his people. There was Samuel and Nathan and Elijah and Elisha, Isaiah and Jeremiah and many others. And it continued all the way down to a guy named Malachi, who before John was the next to last prophet. And what makes Malachi significant is that after Malachi delivered his prophecy, after he spoke for God to the people of Israel, there was 400 years of silence. 400 years where God did not send a prophet to his people Israel. 400 years Israel waited to hear a word from the Lord. And so for 400 years, you could imagine the faithful Israelites, they pored over these words, this book from the prophet Malachi. It'd be no different than if someone you loved and cared about, someone you had a close relationship with, if they left, but left behind a note detailing some final instructions and maybe giving hints about when they would return. I can almost guarantee you would spend a lot of time reading and rereading and rereading that letter as well. So these are the very last words of the prophet Malachi before 400 years of silence. He wrote, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. That day is coming, and it shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers." These were God's last words to his people for 400 years. Now those words, some of them, anyway, should sound familiar. Because as we enter this Advent season, as we prepare for Christmas and we read that familiar Christmas story again and again, these words are repeated. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah in the temple to announce that he and his wife Elizabeth in their old age would be blessed with a son, this is what the angel Gabriel said of John the Baptist. The angel said, "And John will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. After 400 years of silence, God spoke again, this time through the angel Gabriel, to announce that Israel's long wait was over. The Messiah was about to come. So it's no wonder that John, 6 months in his mother's womb, leaps for joy. It's no wonder that Elizabeth exclaims in these powerful and joyful words what it means to her to be met by Mary, the mother of our Lord. It's no wonder that in the very next verses, which we didn't print here today, Mary sings what we know as the Magnificat. Think in your life of all the times where you've been overcome with joy. Have you ever broken into song? I thought about that last night. There's never been a time in my life where I've been so overcome with joy that I've broken out in song like I'm some character in a Disney movie. And yet, Mary, at this meeting, the collision of these covenants, she does that. And see, this 400-year period is significant for another reason. It's significant because it recalls an earlier 400-year stretch of time that corresponds to the Old Covenant. See, when God appeared to Abraham in the wilderness and told him that he was going to make him into a great nation and give him countless children, and that through him and his offspring all the nations on the earth would be blessed, at that time, God also told Abraham that his offspring would be travelers in a land that was not their own. And that as they were traveling in that land, that they would be abused and mistreated and eventually enslaved. But that after 400 years, God would remember his people and deliver them from their slavery and bring them in to a promised land. Now, once again, after another 400 years, God was bringing deliverance to his people. But it wasn't deliverance from a nation. It wasn't deliverance, freedom from physical slavery. It was a freedom from the thing that binds all of us, our sin. And he would do it not just by sending a prophet, although he did in sending John the Baptist, but he would do it by sending his son, Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus, when he came, he would usher in a new covenant. And so on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples. And you remember, the Passover meal was this meal that the Israelites would celebrate every year in remembrance of the deliverance that God had given them after that first 400 years of slavery. And so Jesus was celebrating this Passover meal with his disciples. And he took some bread and he broke it. He blessed it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then after supper, he took the cup. He blessed it, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so this last supper that Jesus celebrated with his disciples would become the first of many for us who are now his followers. See, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we don't do it just to remember what God has done for us in Jesus. It's not just a memorial meal, something that we do to remind us of the deliverance that God has given to us through his Son. In this meal, Jesus truly is our Emmanuel, God with us. Because in this meal, Jesus has promised to be present physically for us. So as he taught his disciples on that last night, he instructs us, as we gather together, we celebrate this meal as well. This bread broken for us is his body. And this wine given to us is his blood of the new covenant shed for us. as we celebrate that meal today, and as we look forward to the end of this week to celebrate once again the event of Christ's coming into this world, we celebrate this meal hopefully with the same joy of that first meeting of Mary and Elizabeth and Jesus and John. We can leap for joy. You can skip down the aisle if you want. Because in Jesus, God has fulfilled the old covenant and given us a new, promising forgiveness and life and salvation. In his name, amen.